But the Jays, I think you could say they survived today. It was bases loaded in the eighth inning, and they got out of a jam. They were up big. They were up 9-1 at one point. It got to 9-5 again. Bases loaded, one out in the eighth. They found a way to close that game out. Jays take at least one in Chicago. Both of the losses, though, were right there for them. Like, they battled back in game one. They couldn't get it done because Barrios got lit up. Last night, they blown save by Romano. Yeah, but they got a lead in the 10th, lead in the 11th.
And the ump was out to lunch. We got to ask Steve about that.
But I don't blame the, when you've got a 4-2 lead and leads in the extra innings, I don't care who the ump is. You got to close.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to close. And it's an excuse to blame the ump. Here's Steve Phillips, our Jays and MLB analyst. Where do you stand on that? Obviously, Doug Eddings was awful last night, but the Jays, they got to win that game. You can't blow those leads like they did multiple times last night.
Right. I mean, it's a game you need to win, and yet I get the umpiring. And look, there were plenty of pitches missed on both sides. He missed 26 of them. So he didn't miss 26 pitches that hurt the Blue Jays. You know, he hurt both teams. He had a really bad day. And so the effect of that was Pete Walker getting ejected yesterday. And then obviously the hitting coach getting ejected today. It's a lineup exchange, you know, sort of premeditated, I'm sure, by the Jays, but I think a strong statement made. And so you can't put things on umpires. You know, there are a lot of other opportunities during the course of a game that can affect it. Yet there could be a singular pitch call that can change the outcome overall. But it's a game where they had opportunities. The Bo Bichette at bat, where he hit the ground ball, the short that they couldn't get the runner in for third, was a tough one for them. Zimmer tried to keep it alive in the 11th inning with a great diving catch to give him an opportunity to at least survive until the 12th. But they just came up short. And look, the White Sox are going to make their run. The White Sox are a really good team. And it looks like they're starting to get some things together a little bit right now. I was a little surprised that in the 11th inning, Tony La Russa opted to pitch to Vladimir Guerrero. Now, and so Tony's done some weird things this year. But runners on second and third, two outs, with Vladdy up, he pitches to Vladdy. Now, Kirk's behind him, and I get Kirk's been red hot, but I don't know what you guys would do. Would you pitch to Vladdy, or would you choose to pitch to Kirk? You've got a choice. You need to get one out. Who would you pitch to? It worked for them.
They got him. Wow. But I was thinking the same thing watching that. Yep.
But you're right. It worked. But I was never one who believed that the end justifies the means, you know, because I want to know what's going to happen the next time and the next time and the next time. And so, you know, for me, I set out the game when I played the Blue Jays. I don't want Vladimir Guerrero Jr. to be the guy that beats me. If Alejandro Kirk, with what he's become, is the guy who beats me, so be it. But I'm not going to pitch to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Now, La Russa, it worked for him. But I was surprised by it. One of the things I think of is, you know, you got a manager who's managed, over 2,000 wins in his career. He can do that and not worry about what people think. You know, younger managers probably say, yeah, no, I'm going to go by the book. Everybody in the world would think I'd rather pitch to Kirk, even though he's great. You know, it's no disrespect. Excuse me. But I think that in the end, you know, I don't want Vladdy to beat me. But it was a really interesting game. Both teams, though, really burned out their bullpens yesterday. And so getting out to the early lead today for the Jays was critical. And they left Giolito in to take a bit of a beating today when they kept punishing him. And fortunately, the Jays had enough bullpen at the end to try to hold on to that lead.
Steve, I just want to go back to the ump a little bit and put a bow on this. Have you ever had a scenario where either one of your pitching coaches or hitting coaches has been thrown out before the game?
It's not uncommon for the lineup exchange to be an airing of the beefs from the day before. Now, I think that I don't know if one of my guys ever did that. I will say that I still take the cake because my manager wore a mustache and sunglasses.
Right.
So, yes. I mean, so where I may not have had that, I had the ultimate of ultimates where there's actually a date every year that on this day in baseball history, it pops up every year that Bobby Valentine was ejected and wore the sunglasses and the fake mustache. So I actually am still the winner in that category.
Yeah, that's. I think you should be proud of that category. Yeah. I mean, that's a really impressive category. And
thank you very much.
You had to have gone down there afterwards and asked him what the hell he was thinking. Like, what did he think he was accomplishing with the glasses and fake mustache?
know, I went down there and I walked in and I said, "Are you okay?" And he goes, "Oh yeah, no, I'm okay." No, I said, "Are you okay? Like, what are you doing? Like, are you insane? Like, what are you doing? Are you okay?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "Well, you know, I wanted to go back and show the guys. I thought I might loosen them up a little bit and everything." I'm like, "Bobby, now you're going to get suspended." And I think I told the story that, you know, Len Coleman, the league president, called me, and he was so mad. He was so angry about it. And he's like, "It's a disgrace. It's an insult to the game. It's disrespecting the game." He says, "I'm going to have to suspend your manager for 3 games. And I said, "Can you make it a week? Can you please make it a week? Like, Len, welcome to my life. Like, I understand you're frustrated. I deal with this every day. Make it a week. I'm begging you."
Yeah.
So he's like, "No, I can't. Precedent won't let me do that." But and I think he reduced it by a game, too. But excuse me. But it was, yeah, Bobby was an interesting cat, no question about it.
Oh, there's no disputing that. And, you know, you're right about that, the decision by La Russa last night. I was thinking the exact same thing. I'm watching it. I'm like, okay, let me get this straight. There's a base open. It's Vladdy Guerrero Jr. I get that Kirk is behind him, and he pitches to him again, got him out of it. But is that more to do with where Vladdy is at? Although that said, yesterday afternoon he's announced as the AL Player of the Week. He's been completely dialed in. But Kirk has been phenomenal. Like, he's been an incredibly difficult out. Like, is it pumping the tires of Kirk, or was La Russa thinking for whatever reason Vladdy was in a bad spot? Because it's difficult to reason with.
Well, I think the thing about Vladdy is that if you pitch him low, you've got a pretty good chance he's going to hit it into the ground, but he's not going to lift it. And so I think there's a way to pitch to him to be able to get him to do what you want. Now, I think he actually hit a ball that's sort of up and in a little bit. It jammed him some when he put it in play.
Yeah.
But I do think this way. And I think the other thing that probably La Russa is thinking about is, okay, well, if we pitch to Vladdy and get him out, then if we end up tied the next inning, he'll be the runner on second. Now, you could say, well, Kirk's not much faster. And, you know, if they're going to start the next inning with Kirk there, but they probably pinch run in that moment for Kirk because of the depth of the catching. And so, you know, it's an interesting decision, although Gabby Moreno ended up pinch hitting too. It's an interesting decision what they're doing with it. La Russa, though, is the manager that when I broadcasted games, he was the one guy that you always had to think along with because he was going to do something to try to save a run or to gain a run during the course of the game. You had to think along with him. He was going to squeeze. He was going to charge in his infielders, you know, thinking with runner at third, less than 2 outs, and you play the infield back. And then, you know, the hitter's thinking, okay, I'll just hit a ground ball up the middle. And then as the pitch is coming, you know, this is something Bobby Valentine did too. He would charge the infielders in to then say, okay, the hitter's going to try to hit a ground ball. Let's now get the runner at home plate. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that these managers do. La Russa has the courage to do the unconventional, as we saw where he ended up intentionally walking Trey Turner when he was ahead in the count 1-2 and to pitch to Max Muncy. And then Muncy hit a 3-run home run. So it doesn't always work the way you want, but La Russa tries some oddball things at times.
Do you think he makes it, Steve? We were talking about the environment that's been created at the ballpark, and I don't think any general manager would want to see it. As soon as they get down or as soon as something happens, they're yelling, "Fire Tony." I mean, can the general manager shrug that off? Or sooner or later, they got a quality ball club there in Chicago, you know, waiting for that team to rebuild, and they're kind of finally there. How do you deal with those chants and what they're saying about them?
Yeah, you know, it's tough. It's a really tough one. Because you don't ever want to be pressured into a personnel decision because of the fans. You know, because they don't have all the information. They don't always understand. They want things instantaneously. And, you know, as a manager, you're managing today's game and tomorrow's game and next week's game as you're going through it. You know who you have available. You know who's not available. You know the numbers on circumstances and analytics. And so there are times where managers make decisions that the general manager understands what the manager's doing, even when the fans and the media might not, because you know that a guy might not be available to pitch on a day or be able to hit on a day. And so, you know, I think it's difficult. But inevitably, when things go wrong and the mounting pressure goes to the manager, at some point, usually at the end of the season, when it comes to what can we do to try to sell our team next year because we can't change all the players, what do we do? And there comes a time where you think the fans want there to be a change in the manager because it will give them a different level of hope for next year because they don't have hope with this manager. Now, La Russa is going to make it through the end of the year. But if they don't make the playoffs this year, I don't think he's back next year, and they probably move on in a different direction.
With Steve Phillips, our Jays and MLB analyst, the Jays picking up a win today. They're off tomorrow, then in Milwaukee on the weekend. And, you know, last night the bullpen, it couldn't close. Romano's been great all year, but you could tell four-pitch walk to kind of start, set the tone of the ninth. He knew it was getting ugly for him. The arms couldn't survive into extras. Today it got a little bit dicey. Simber got lit up. Where do you think Atkins and company are at with the current stability or lack thereof of the bullpen at this point?
Yeah, I think that you know, I think that they have some really good relievers. They've gotten a lot of work. I mean, there was a period of time where they had three guys that are on there, you know, three to four guys that were on pace for 70 some appearances, and that's a ton. And so, you know, they played so many close games. They had all the one-run games. And I think that means that you tend to go to your horses more frequently, right? If you get a three- or four-run margin, you can then start to let some of the other guys eat up some innings and maybe pitch an inning in two-thirds or something like that to give somebody a blow. And so I think Ross Atkins, Mark Shapiro are looking to fortify their bullpen. I think they're going to look to fortify the rotation. You know, Stripling bounced back today and certainly was better after his last time out, which is good. You know, one of the things you want to see is how everybody's going to have a clunker, but how do you bounce back from that? How do you learn from that? What adjustment do you make from it? And we saw that today, and I think that was a really good thing. And I think that Pete Walker and Stripling deserve a lot of credit for bouncing back a bit. But I do think that they're shopping now. They're looking. They're lining up where they'll go when it's time to go. When other teams dictate that they're willing to start to engage, the Jays will be ready. They'll have scouts out. They'll be evaluating all of the pitchers who are going to be available so that they can be prepared to make a move when the time is right.
Well, they're again off tomorrow and then in Milwaukee on the weekend. That'll be a fun series. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this, Steve.
Okay, my pleasure, guys. Thanks.
Steve Phillips, our TSN MLB analyst.
Hazy, I wanted to ask you, not everybody where you're trying to catch lightning in a bottle can be the Simeon story of last year, but what are your takes and thoughts kind of early on Chapman? Like, do we know what that guy brings to the table or what he is or what he's all about? I think he hit 30 dingers last year. It just doesn't seem to be very consistent.
Yeah, he had back-to-back years, I want to say in maybe 18 and 19, where he was like top 10 AL MVP type season, where he's putting up numbers. Defensively, he's a superstar, and he has supplied that, and he will continue to supply that. His bat, though, and I think outside of those 2 years, what it would suggest is he's a swing-and-miss guy, and you know he'll give you some pop. He'll probably get to 25 home runs, but he's not a superstar bat. Like, he's not going to be a guy that you are going to see at the top of the order. Like, he's nestled in as a 6, 7, 8 type guy in the order. And, you know, I think he's going to have streaks of hot and cold runs. And when he's hot, he's going to hit for pop. He's going to get on base. He'll be a contributor. But, yeah, it's not Simeon, clearly. It's not Donaldson.
No, it's just Simeon. It's not, you're like, okay, this guy's a stud right from the start. And it was just a dream season. And I'm looking at this guy. And all I can say, just from casually watching the Jays, is like, I don't know what you are or what you really bring to the table.
Defensively, he's a stud. Like, that's what he is. But his offensive numbers have really not been very impressive at all. Like, he's been a guy that is he's there more for his defensive prowess, and he's a depth piece at the plate, you know. But I'm looking at him now in 18-19. In 2018, he was 7th in MVP voting in the American League. In 19, he was 6th.
Wow.
Like, that's how – and I'm looking at his numbers, you know, an 864 OPS, 848 OPS, 24 home runs in 18, 36 home runs in 19. That's not – where he's trending towards now. It's going to be, again, probably 25 home runs, give or take. I think his OPS will get up to about 750, give or take, by the end of the year. But he's got to be a great defensive player and a guy that tries to stay consistent, don't strike out too much. You know, that's kind of all you're asking for, and that's all it's going to be for this year and next year.
I was watching Vladdy the other night. Where do you think he ends as far as home runs? Like, I, you know... What was he,
I
like
think
17?
It's high 30s.
Yeah, like I was hoping to get to 40. He's going to have to go on a bit of a heater.
Yep. which is more than capable of doing.
Get on a heater to get to 35. Like, he needs a heater for that, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, I mean, 17, they're not quite halfway through the year.
He's like, hovering. Yeah, I think he can get to 40. Like, if he gets going a little bit in the second half here. But, like, that's what you expect out of him pretty much every year.
You expect a guy that's going to hit 40. You expect a guy who's going to get on base a ton, which he's still, you know, doing. It's just last year, again, was a bar-setting season for him. And this year, I don't think he's going to be a top three MVP type. Yeah, exactly. You know, like, it's not that the book is out. Like, when you're that good of a hitter, man, you make adjustments and you make it difficult on pitchers, which he's still doing.
Right.
But it's not going to replicate what he did last season.
Right.
It's not. He's not going to reach those numbers, and he's not going to end up winning an MVP. But there's still a lot of baseball left. Like, he's AL Player of the Week this week. And, you know, if he rolls that into some more consistency, there's still a lot of time to accumulate a lot of stats for Vladdy. And I expect that that's more likely to happen than unlikely to happen.